The Book of Revelation is, for many, the hardest book in the Bible to understand. I've been studying it for over a decade, and I'm far from an expert. Many believe that it's a fallacy or a made-up tale with mystic creatures. But the book itself, when you study it in the Greek, and you pull it apart and go to the other books of the Bible that help you interpret it, it's revealing a message from Christ to John. And John is writing this down for us. And some of the stuff that's written in there, maybe it had to be cryptic, because otherwise it couldn't have even got off the island. The Romans would have seen that and said, "No way are we letting you get off this island with this. Could have been destroyed." But that being said, the book talks about a one-world government. Revelation speaks of a global currency and a one-world leader who will be in charge of both of those. And we know that to be the Antichrist. Now, for those that believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, which is a whole separate topic, but for those that don't know, the rapture is the calling away where Christ, the believers are caught up with him in the sky, and we return to him to heaven for a period of time, and then the tribulation actually takes place on earth while we're indeed with Jesus in heaven, and then we come back with him when he's vanquishing the enemy, which is Satan. Now, for those that believe that, now, whether you believe it or not, let me rephrase. That's what the word says. Now, some choose not to believe that. But what that basically means is the enemy has put the fear of what this book is about into people, thinking that there's this horrible, horrible tribulation that every soul has to go through for atonement. And it's simply not true. You see, when Adam and Eve were the first people and the only people on the earth, Satan had found a way to infiltrate and to get in their heads and turn them from the Lord. And if he could do that with the only two people on the planet, and then later we see that he is tempting our Lord, and if he has the power to do that, he has the power to get in everybody's head. So everything that comes out of the devil's mouth is a lie. So the things that some preachers are teaching that are falsehoods about the book of Revelation are indeed a lie as well. Now, I'm not saying that there are teachers that are intentionally being nefarious and teaching the wrong things. Some might, I don't know, but I want to believe that all people who are preaching the word of God have an inherent goodness about them, and they're trying to do what's right. But, if you teach wrong, then there's an accountability for that someday. So what we see is this fear, the fear of truth. And the fear of truth is what Satan fears most, because the Lord is the way, the truth, and the life. And Satan is the prowler who seeks to destroy everyone, and mostly starting with the family, splitting people up for divorce, and splitting children away from their parents, and creating addictions, etc. So we know that whether we're in the book of Genesis, or whether we're in the book of Revelation, or we're anywhere in between, that there is good versus evil. There's the common thread of good versus evil, and of course we know who the players are. And many think, well, I'm going to get to heaven because I'm a good person. Well, I can't say who will and will not get to heaven, but I know what the word says. And the word says that the only way there, the only way to get to the Father, is through the Son. So you have to have a relationship with Christ. And it's not just a I'm going to go to church a couple of times and, you know, I'm going to, you know, say my prayers at night before I go to bed. Yeah, he wants a relationship, an actual relationship like you would have with your wife, your husband, your parents, your best friend, your children, a relationship where you're communing together, you're fellowshipping together. And, you know, to some that's foreign. Like, how can I have this relationship with the Almighty God? Well, through his word. Well, if he's going to speak to you, he's going to do it through his word. And if you're going to speak to him, obviously you're going to do that through your conscience, through your spirit. You know, where a body is spirit, then the flesh. And the flesh is the part that gets messed up. And the flesh is the part that listens to the lies. So that was the basis when I wrote the book Awoken, because so many are asleep. And of course, there's the play on the vernacular of wokeism, which, you know, is a word that even a decade ago didn't exist. You know, like many words that are out today, I have to ask my kids, what does that even mean? My adult kids, actually. So the point is this. So many dismiss what's in the Bible as conspiracy, but that's a lie from the pit of hell. That's a lie from the enemy himself. That is what he wants you to believe so you won't open the book. That's what he wants you to believe so you won't seek the truth. And if you continue just to go on that path of not seeking the truth and believing the lies that are coming from the pit of hell, I know that the word says that there is indeed a place for folks who dismiss the Lord and choose not to have a relationship with him. And many will say, how can a loving God send us to hell? Well, he doesn't send us to hell. We send us to hell by dismissing his son. So it's not about being a good person. When you accept Christ and have a relationship with him, being a good person is the striving that we try to do after the fact. So when we see what's going on in the news, and we see what's going on in the Middle East, and we see all of the acronyms, the IMF, the WHO, BRICS, and FedNow, and smart cities, and all of these things that come from you know, more conspiracy theories, and let's get rid of TikTok, because that, of course, is the enemy, right? So when we see all of that, we try to wrap our heads around it, and it's easier to bury our heads in the sand and not even try to comprehend it. But I can tell you this. The United Nations and all of those acronyms and all of those globalists are indeed going to form the New World Order and the one world currency, which they refer to as the Great Reset. Now, think of like a circuit breaker. Something can't be reset unless it's tripped. It can't be fixed unless it's first broken. So they have to break the currency. They have to break the system in order for it to become reset. And when it's reset, that'll be done in this globalist fashion where, you know, it's okay to have all the debt you want right now, because they'll probably find a way to forgive that in the hopes of getting everybody to buy into this currency that they're going to dish out. Now, whether you believe all that or not is also irrelevant. I'm just trying to show people that what's in the book of Revelation is a series of events, and it has to happen in a certain cycle in order for it to evolve, in order for it to turn into what the book says is going to happen. And what Awoken does is it shows you from a fleshly, earthly, Babylonian system how we got there. We talk about the presidents that had a piece to play in getting to where we are. It doesn't mean that they're nefarious and everybody did something wrong. But for example, we couldn't have a reset of a currency if we didn't first get off the gold standard, which is something Nixon did. We couldn't have the dumbing down of our children and the educational crisis that we have if Carter wouldn't have created the Department of Education. And we couldn't have the the banking system to be messed up if it wasn't for Clinton repealing what was called the Glass-Steagall Act. And all of these things are referred to in the book and are broken down. But the point is, each president doing those little things in of itself doesn't seem like that big of a deal until you stack them on top of each other. And what you have is like a tapestry. And when you look at a tapestry from behind, it's just this messy, squiggly threads. When you flip it around, there's usually a beautiful picture. So we're looking at the squiggly lines trying to make sense of things, but God sees the beautiful picture on the other side, and that beautiful picture is His Son. So the mess isn't going to be fixed by an election. I mean, we all know and we all hope that, you know, some God-fearing people get in, but every time in the Old Testament, every time Israel messed up, the Lord sent them a bad leader. And so we could just see throughout the world, you know, with the abortion issues and the human trafficking issues. And of course, there's the wars and rumors of wars that we hear are going to be in the end times. But the Lord has a problem, a real big problem with the shedding of innocent blood. So He's not going to reward countries with awesome leaders when there's the shedding of innocent blood, and those leaders aren't the ones who are intrinsically responsible for it. And I'm talking globally, not just amongst the United States. So ultimately, I don't want to paint this picture of gloom and doom, because the book of Revelation, as we mentioned about the rapture, we're out. We're gone with Him, and the tribulation technically happens on earth while we are with Christ in heaven for a period of 7 years. And that gives, to me, that's jubilation. I mean, we talk about our whole lives, talk about getting to heaven, but when it comes to being a reality of actually getting there, everybody's freaked out. You know, we go to a funeral, and of course we're sad that the person has left the earth, but at the same time, it's very rare that people are excited that they're now actually with the Lord, instead of, you know, in their fleshly suit suffering and putting up with just some of the junk that we have to put up to, even if we're not in ill health. So I said all that to say this. Where your money is eventually going to be irrelevant. What you invest in is eventually going to be irrelevant. Whether you're a prepper and you have food stored or you don't, it's going to be irrelevant. Democrat, Republican, Jew, Palestinian, black, white, doesn't matter. All that matters is, do you know Christ? What have you done with my son? That's the question the Lord's going to ask. So when you stand in front of the Lord to give an account for every idle word and every idle thought, then all of the things that we've dismissed because we learned they were conspiracy theories from the, you know, various news networks that aren't even worth listening to. What have you done with my son? So as we approach the holiest holiday for Christians, which is Easter, or some refer to it as Resurrection Sunday. As we approach this, I'd like to challenge those who don't know Christ to ask the Lord just a very simple prayer. Say, show me your son. Show me him. Bring me into a relationship with him. He wants what's called a covenant relationship. And in a covenant, you both own it all, like the covenant of marriage. So when we enter into this covenant relationship with Christ, he gives us everything he has, and all we have to give is our heart. And that's all he wants, is to have a covenant relationship with us. So I challenge those that don't know the Lord to do so. But in the Bible, it talks about those that are lukewarm. You're either hot, cold, or lukewarm. And the lukewarm is that's the danger. You're on the fence. You're straddling the fence. You haven't made a decision one way or the other. And that's the part where the Lord says that he vomits them out of his mouth. And that's what the word literally means in Greek. And that's the problem, is there are churches that are preaching a lukewarm gospel because they don't want to offend anybody and they don't want to disrupt things, and maybe the people will stop coming and stop giving. there's people that feel that way. And let's not talk about anything that's going to upset anybody because, you know, we have to get along. Well, if I offend people on earth because of talking about Jesus, but they end up in heaven for eternity, that's a trade I'm willing to make. And there's a lot of people that, you know, Glade, all you talk about is God. Well, I try. Am I perfect? Absolutely not. Do I do things that are really dumb? Absolutely. Do I have a mouth that can probably, you know, I would do better if I didn't open it? Absolutely. But guess what? We're all fallible. We all have skin on our bones, and that's the flesh is the issues. As long as the Spirit is having communion with Christ, having fellowship with Christ, there is the salvation of your soul. And that's what we need to do. So I'm going to close in a prayer, and I'd ask that you would join me in this prayer. Father God, I just thank you for the person who's listening to this. Lord, I just ask that you would touch them right where they're at. That it's not about their sin. It's not about their what they've done or haven't done. That it's a clean slate right now, Lord God, as this person who's watching this would say, Lord, show me your son. Show me Jesus. That you would touch these people where they are, meet them where they're at, heal, bring peace, restore joy, restore what the enemy has taken from them, and bring them into your covenant. We ask this in Christ Jesus' name. And if you've prayed that, then, shoot me a text, an email, a letter, a phone call, whatever. And I'll share some resources with you on how you can get plugged in. If you dismissed all of what I just said, I'm still going to pray for you and hope that the seed has been planted. And if you know the Lord already, and all of this is just, you're just giving me a big amen, forward this to somebody who needs to see it. I thank you for watching it thus far. Check out the book Awoken. Not because I want to sell books. I want to be with everybody that's watching this right now in heaven someday. God bless.